Sandy Talks Vegan. Thank you for joining me for the fourth episode of the News Quiz Extra. The News Quiz Extra is for those of you who like to spend a bit more time over things. If the News Quiz is a quick sandwich and a bag of crisps, the News Quiz Extra is a sprawling lunch with dessert, wine, and the unwanted attentions of a lascivious French man in a cream suit. You lucky lot get to listen to the bits that we deemed inappropriate for the main broadcast. We throw taste, brevity, and in some cases the BBC guidelines out of the window to bring you a bumper 45-minute edition. Also, as a special treat for you, we've had a photographer with us all day, so if you'd like to see what the News Quiz team look like and conclusively answer the question you've all been asking, why isn't the News Quiz on television? Go to the website bbc.co.uk/radio4. But first of all, over to the show.
We present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Daily Telegraph, read by Charlotte Green.
A broody Duchess of Cambridge has told an onlooker of her hopes to start a family on day four of her tour of Canada.
And our thanks to Kathy Barnes for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Phil Jupitus and Fred McCauley. And opposite them on my left, award-winning comedian Laura Solon and that old devil Jeremy Hardy. Phil, who wants to buck the trend of irresponsible business?
It's the Miliband boy.
Yes.
He upset Lord Jones, Digby Jones, the former chief of the CBI, by saying that he wanted it to be a new business, not business as usual. And then his very important announcement at the Labour Party conference was completely derailed by him being called a weirdo constantly in the press and then having to deny being a weirdo in ever more strident and weird voice. It was one of the most self-defeating defences of being a weirdo I've ever heard. If he'd just caved in and gone, yeah, that's me, weird, rather than, I'm not weird! I'm not weird! I'm not weird! I'm not weird!
He got into huge trouble in Scotland, didn't he, Fred? Is this just today?
Yes.
Or Thursday, which is in the past now. he forgot the names of one of the candidates for the leadership, and he tried to cover it up. They said, well, what are their three names? And he said, look, you know, I mean, the thing is, what I want to say is this. And he was just bluffing and covering it. And he said, well, I can't remember any of them. He named two. And then, can you remember them?
Yeah, the one that he forgot is actually my MP. I think he's called the third candidate.
But he should have just come clean, like Phil says about being weird. He should have just said, oh, do you know what? It slipped my mind, because that would have made him seem more human. I mean, there are times when I can't remember the name of my son. And what's worse is, I don't have a son.
He just looks like a man-child that still collects pogs, in my opinion. Like, he buys his clothes in Millets and probably sleeps beneath a Ferrari duvet. I can't take him seriously.
He said he was an outsider with an insider's vantage point. I don't think it sounds like somebody's drilled a hole in the girls' changing rooms.
He keeps going on about all these brave things he's done. Like, he stood up, you know, there'd been a risk in challenging his brother, which I agree. I mean, I wouldn't cross David Miliband. I mean, he's got connections. You could be sedated on a flight to Bagram Air Base before you know what's going on.
You got two different reactions when he said, look, I'm not Tony Blair. And he actually sounded more like Tony Blair then. That he even had that sort of glottal stop with the knot, you know, and then there was a pause and he got a bit of a reaction and he thought, oh, I'm going to ride this one. And he said, and I'm no Gordon Brown.
This is the Labour Party conference in Liverpool where Ed Miliband promised an end to fast buck Britain and the something for nothing system that grew under Thatcher and New Labour. The speech was described as high risk, not because of the content, but because the unions had his balls in a vice. Ed Miliband said, I'm not Tony Blair, I'm not Gordon Brown either, I'm my own man, I'm David Miliband. Ed, I'm Ed. Did anybody see Tony's wife is in the news again? The lovely Cherie.
She's proposing that we get our healthcare from Tesco's now. I think she's involved with a private company. So you'll be in the nine ailments or less queue, you'll be fine. But you do have to operate the scanner yourself.
Is that how you know if you've got something wrong with you? Unexpected item in there. That's right, this thing about private clinics in supermarkets, they promise to deliver services 7 days a week where people want it, places that are convenient and accessible to them. Didn't we not used to call that hospitals? Is that not?
I just feel if you're going to get your healthcare from a supermarket, it's got to be Waitrose, really, hasn't it?
You want to go to Iceland because then your organs will last a much longer time. Always get them to put a frozen kidney in.
Still, at least the hospital would have enough trolleys. Points to Phil. Laura, who's Putin democracy out of business again?
This is the news that Putin has released a spoiler about next year's Russian presidential elections. If you don't want to hear the results, listen away now. that he is going to job swap with the current president, Dmitry Medvedev, who is exhausted after all that definitely being in control. And in a way, I think it just streamlines the democratic process. It makes his election campaign much easier. His slogan can be, "A vote for Putin is sweet of you, but entirely unnecessary." And I also have to say that reading all this news footage, I suddenly realised that I find Putin quite attractive. He strikes me as the short-sighted woman's Daniel Craig. He actually is number 23 on the list of worldshottestleaders.com. Number one, in case you're interested, ladies, is Jens Stoltenberg from Norway. Think market town Liam Neeson. But yeah, he's a man's man, Putin. He's a black belt in judo. There's nothing more manly than two men slipping into white pyjamas and hugging each other for points. So
I feel we're getting an insight into you, Laura.
Yes.
Hasn't he had lots of Botox, though? I mean, he is starting to look a bit like Lenin, a bit embalmed.
It looks like his face has been left too near a desk lamp.
There's all these pictures you can get. You get him fighting a bear. And
topless on a horse.
Wrestling a dragon and all these things. And the one with the fishing rod, he's holding it wrongly. An angler wrote into one of the papers this week, he's holding it wrongly.
How do you hold it wrongly? By the hook?
There's a really good game you can play with anything that Putin says, which is just by adding two words at the end. And when he was at the conference this week, he actually said, "The task of government is not only to pour honey in a cup, but sometimes to give bitter medicine, Mr. Bond." Just add those words to everything he says, and it works really well.
Russian President Dmitry Medvedev announced that he will swap jobs with Prime Minister Vladimir Putin in 2012. Medvedev has spearheaded a drive to modernise Russia during his term in office, and he's done, honestly, a great job. The amount of paperwork you used to have to fill in before you could poison someone with an umbrella. Putin admitted his country is entering a difficult economic period, but says he's prepared to be photographed on as many horses as it takes to solve the crisis. 2 points to Laura. Jeremy, have a listen to this.
Please, Jeremy, no breakdance.
Jeremy, who's finally stopped skirting around the issue of voting reform?
This will be Saudi Arabia, which is taking its first faltering steps to enter the 20th century, in fact. Yeah, King Abdullah has announced that women will be allowed to take part and vote in municipal elections by the year 2015, which shows the inequality of the country, because men have been able to vote in municipal elections in Saudi since 2005. They will be able to vote and stand for the Shura, which is a sort of parliament thing. Well, it's a revising chamber, and you revise what the king says, which means you commit it to memory and repeat it when required to. But he has also stepped in to save a woman from... He commuted her sentence, because men are allowed to commute in Saudi Arabia. Women aren't. Yeah, she had been sentenced to 10 lashes for driving. Now, of course, in this country, lashes is something women do while driving, don't get for driving. So it's very hard to comprehend a country where women get... Well, it's not illegal to drive, but you can't get a licence if you're a lady. Because if they gave you a driving licence, you'd quickly get your sewing machine and fashion it into hot pants. And then you go around tempting men to tumess in public. I heard somebody on the radio saying, first it'll be driving, then it'll be short skirts. They've obviously been confused by all those pictures in the tabloids of women celebrities who confuse getting into a car with a visit to an obstetrician. But they think that once women start driving, well, the next thing, they'll all be cavorting naked.
Question five of the Saudi Arabian driving test is, do you have a functioning penis? I'm kidding. Did you know, though, that you're forbidden to drive a car, but you are allowed to fly a plane if you're a woman in Saudi Arabia? So I was thinking about this. Presumably you can get some man to take you to the airport. Why not, once you're in the plane, just taxi the thing down the high street?
Used to do before I read it was 10 lashings, curiously the same unit of measurement for corporal punishment and ginger beer. But what they used to do was the police would pull the female driver over, ask her questions, then send her on her way, having made her sign a pledge not to drive again.
So off you go.
In the Riyadh branch of Blockbusters, Thelma and Louise is in the science fiction section.
There was a headline in a Scottish newspaper for a man who'd committed a driving offence, and he was given by the court in Inverness his fourth lifetime ban.
King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia has said that women will be allowed to participate in elections from 2015. Criticism of the government is not tolerated in Saudi Arabia. Sorry, I said government, I meant sexist Neanderthal bastards. Two points to Jeremy. At the end of round one, the scores are Phil and Fred have got 4 points, but so too have Laura and Jeremy. And we start round two with an advertisement from the Falmouth Packet.
The much-anticipated City of Lights parade, featuring hundreds of lanterns, from small handmade ones to superb masterpieces which tower high above the crowds, never fails to disappoint.
And our thanks to Tony Ricks for sending us that. Phil, which TV station puts their footage in their mouth this week?
ITV did a documentary about the links between Gaddafi and the IRA, and they put some video game footage in which showed beyond doubt that the IRA has a sinister Italian fundraiser called Mario who gets coins for them. It's footage from the video game of a helicopter being shot down that they said was footage of the provisional IRA shooting down a British helicopter in the 1980s, and it was from a video game. And then there was some footage of the IRA throwing barrels at a gorilla.
The mistake wasn't spotted, I think, for a few days.
Well, it was guys that played the game that actually spotted the error, but they were far too busy eating Doritos to phone ITV and point out the error and go, worst IRA documentary ever. The production company that made the thing said, yeah, we have got some real footage, it's just there was a mistake in the editing process. Do you think?
No, they actually officially blamed human error, so they know it wasn't Wendy, the office werewolf.
No, I'm trying to think, that X Factor thing is on ITV. What else is on ITV?
Have you not watched ITV ever accidentally late at night toxic when you've got him after one of your crazy rock and roll nights?
And
Wayne Rooney coming out of China Whites. Full of all sorts of nonsense. Then you get home and you put the ITV on and they're playing that quiz where they go, OK, phoning now, if you could name us a common pet. Now, if you can name one of the 10 top common pets, you could be in for a big cash prize. OK, we've got Debbie from New Malden. Debbie, name a common pet. Dogs. OK, let's look at the list. Is dogs in the list? No! Let's look back at the list now. None of you got the right answers. They were Gila Monster, Tarantula, Unicorn.
I don't watch it since they once falsely claimed that Vernon Kay is talented. Oh, what? I say exactly what I like on this programme. It's fine.
Like you know who Vernon Kay is.
He's married to that blonde woman who is Bruce Forsyth's nurse.
To be honest, like Vernon Kay's ever going to hear this joke. Oh, can't believe it. I got slammed on News Quiz the other night. Oh, terrible. Satirical barbs coming my way.
We weren't allowed to watch ITV when I was a kid because it was common.
You used to watch BBC One if you were a child, BBC Two if you were an adult, and ITV if you were common. That was it. There was only the three. That's the truth. There was only those three channels. It wasn't... Channel 4 started with Countdown. It was the first programme on Channel 4.
I was on Countdown once, and it was weird. But
I remember seeing you in Dictionary Corner. You looked like a hostage.
They treated me very well, but they never had me back again.
Why?
I don't know.
Can't
why.
Spell.
Can't spell. I thought I was quite charming. But I got asked.
What? Is it just... So, over to Jeremy now in Dictionary Corner. I can't believe I took this bloody job. This is so disappointing. I can't believe I'm sitting here.
Do I actually sound like that?
You kind of do. Oh, no.
No. Being me is even worse than I thought. You could be a tribute, Jeremy Hardy.
I do. I open supermarkets, albeit quite begrudgingly. I can't believe I'm opening this supermarket.
That was more like a gay Michael Caine. I only told you to blow the bloody doors off.
I've got a mate who's Welsh who does a Welsh accent at me sometimes. And he kind of goes, oh, I tell you what. And it's like, why are you putting the accent on? You are Welsh. He goes, I know.
I met Tom Jones, the singer, the other day, and he was absolutely lovely.
Tom Jones, the singer?
Well, I don't know if
there's... He's got there his finger on the pulse.
It's a Radio 4 audience. There is Tom Jones,
the novel.
You mean
the popular singer from the hit parade, Sandy?
Yeah. You mean you didn't meet Tom Jones, the fictional character?
Anyway, carry on.
And he said, no, I can't do it now.
Come on.
He said, oh, hello, Sunday. Very nice to meet you. And, I wanted to say to him, oh, stop mucking about. Stop pretending to be Tom Jones. But of course you couldn't, because it was actually Tom Jones. Laura, what do you like to watch on the television? Do you have secret pleasure? Like, I watch all those CSI things.
CSI, yeah. Yeah, I like food programmes.
All right.
Yeah, MasterChef.
I was on MasterChef once, and as one of the judges. Not cooking, obviously. I only reheat, and...
Yeah, that's right. Couldn't reach the stove.
Anyway, I said, oh, I think the lamb was the best thing, and they very quietly said to me, that's not what we'd like you to vote for.
I saw that entertaining antiques quiz that you present, Sandy.
Thank you. I look like a heterosexual art teacher.
Sandy in eyeshadow is the weirdest thing. It's like Martina Navratilova in a basque.
Why did they make you wear eyeshadow?
To disguise the lesbianness. They pulled the deerstalker off her head. They broke her monocle.
I wasn't even allowed my pipe.
So what is this thing called? Too shit for eBay. What is it?
I'm never going to work again. It's a very fine programme on BBC Two called Antiques Master. Anyway, the funny thing is that we have genuine posh antiques on it, and I've got a little earpiece, and people have to go and say what they think about these things. And so this woman picked up this bowl, and she was going, oh, we'll give you £1 for this, we'll give you £1 for this, and she's kind of tossing it around like this, and the producer in my ear is going, £30,000, take the bowl from the woman. Oops, clumsy.
You know, when you do Countdown, the producer, he's talking in your ear, telling you the answers. It's a Swiss telly.
Do you know, when I was a child, I visited the Blue Peter Studios and Valerie Singleton had a script. I was very hurt.
And you know that elephant that shat everywhere?
Yeah.
That was James Robertson Justice in an elephant suit.
Jeremy's got footage of the elephant having a brandy off set. When am I on?
I've done a live show with an elephant. That is very tricky. I used to do a kids show called Number 73.
Too right. I came down there one week. Never could catch that cute girl on the roller skates, could you?
She's an Oscar-winning director now.
Is she?
Yeah, Andrea Arnold. She won an Oscar for it. Yeah, it's very good. Anyway, we had this elephant on, and the vet said to me before the show, he said, what we're going to do, Sandy, is we're going to have an elephant and a mouse, and we're going to teach the children the basic physiological differences between the elephant and the mouse. And I said, sorry to be tricksy, but surely the children have to be quite stupid not to... No, anyway, so it's live, and we're in the sort of back garden of this house, and there's the elephant, and there's the vet standing there with a little white mouse on his hands. And I said to him before, will the elephant and the mouse get on? And he said, oh, don't worry about it, because elephants are vegetarian. Well, not this one. And live, in front of many children. We're chatting about the basic physiological differences, and the elephant, clearly bored with this line of questioning, reaches out with his trunk and he picks up the mouse like this, and he puts it straight into his throat. Like this. And the vet did what you'd hope the vet's going to do, and he puts his arm all the way down the throat of the elephant. He pulls out, frankly, rather shaken mouse, and and he turned to me and he went, oh, look, they're playing.
I seem to have wasted my time reading newspapers this week.
Oh, sorry. Was it? Okay, I'm sorry. The producers of ITV current affairs programme Exposure faced embarrassment this week after it was revealed that footage they described as an IRA terrorist video was actually taken from a video game posted on YouTube. On closer inspection, another ITV documentary about the construction of the Olympic stadiums contained footage from Tetris. The IRA has issued a coded warning that it may retaliate and show clips of Downton Abbey. 2 points to Phil. Fred, have a listen to this. Sorry, just discussing. I love Lady Gaga. I think Lady Gaga.
First woman in space.
Oh, references that you need to be over 50 and educated to understand. Now, Fred, why is love robbing people blind?
This is the unspectacular news that people that are online, more specifically on internet dating sites, may not always be what they crack themselves up to be.
Shocking.
Some gullible people have been sending money to people that they've never actually met. Now, Sandy, I've got a wee confession to make. 27 years married to Mrs. Fred. I'm going to reveal myself. I have strayed onto internet dating sites. And I've met a lovely girl called Dr. Joseph Moses Savimbi. And I've been sending him £125 a week through a standing order. But the joke's on him. Because pretty soon I'm getting 121 million. And we don't even have to go through any kind of romantic shenanigans. Do you know, I once asked a girl in an audience at a gig I was doing, as the chap got up and went out to the loo, I said, we'll better take a pause while he's gone to the loo. I said, are you romantically involved? And she was Scottish. She said, no, we're engaged.
They call it romance fraud. This idea that someone you fall in love with can, you know, take money off you on the internet. And I know for a fact now that thousands of News Quiz listeners are screaming at their radios going, it doesn't just happen on the internet!
See, I'm old enough to remember when romance fraud was just a simple case of you saying, I love you, but you had your fingers crossed behind your back.
You're old enough to go on carbon dating sites, aren't you, Fred?
This research, if you read further into the story, this research, it was done between the University of Leicester and Westminster. And what they did was they interviewed 2,000 people, 2% of whom said they knew someone who had been affected by it. This is the kind of research that happens around closing time in a pub, but I don't think this is robust.
Did you say two different universities?
Leicester and Westminster.
How did they meet?
Long-distance relationship.
It's not really Westminster, it's Loughborough Poly. Pretending to be the University of Westminster.
Hang on, I've been having an affair with Loughborough Poly. You keep her out of this.
I've just been scamming my husband very slowly and imperceptibly over time by rounding up his share of utility bills to the nearest five. After 12 years, I'm tens of pounds up, so...
It is thought that more than 200,000 people in Britain may have been conned by fraudsters posing as would-be romantic partners on internet dating sites. Apparently, sweet talkers have duped thousands of women out of their life savings. Sounds like Berlusconi's found a novel way of solving the debt crisis. 2 points to Fred. Laura, whose proposals haven't made the grade?
This is the story that the exam board... Mm. has decided to give extra points to kids from terrible schools. So they're going to judge you on the school you went to, not just your grade, which in some ways I partly agree with. But what about kids who go to private school who happen to have really stupid parents? Are they going to get extra points for this? Prince Harry. Mm. Prince William.
Well, it'd be awful if Prince William's History of Art degree was suddenly completely worthless. Where did you go to school, Laura? Where did you go to school?
I went to school that Kate Middleton went to for 2 weeks and got bullied out of it.
She was bullied?
Yes.
Oh, I see her in a completely different light.
Well, the poor girl. I mean, look at her now. She's fine. But she was there. She was in my sister's year. I told this to Americans, and they got very excited about it.
Wow.
I wasn't saying my sister bullied her, but she didn't. But my sister got offered a lot of money to name the girl who did.
Oh, and what happened?
She didn't tell the story.
So you're still having
Christmas
to work?
Christmas present's going to be rubbish this year.
Yeah. Schools have rejected the proposal of exam board AQA that students from poorer backgrounds should be given bonus points that would count towards university applications. Headmasters branded the proposals from Britain's biggest exam board as disastrous, adding, please see me. 2 points to Laura. Jeremy, why might you be able to answer this question before I've even asked it?
Oh, this is weird. It's very, very fashionable to be interested in physics and hang on the words of Professor Brian Cox. Science is really difficult unless you're me. Here I am somewhere else. This is costing a fortune. Physics is all rubbish. It's, you know, because they're trying to say, look, oh, neutrinos, which are ghostly particles, apparently. If you fire a neutrino out of a particle accelerator at Rome, it will get there before light, underground, because light travels really slowly underground. And this completely dismantles physics, because physics is... What physicists think is that... Oh, God. Space and time are the same thing, and that they're actually dimensions, and we are travelling physically through time, so that all of time exists at the same time, but we are actually travelling through the... But I just say, what's done is done, let it go.
The rules are that nothing travels faster than the speed of light.
Yeah.
And nothing travels slower than a lunchtime queue at the post office. Which itself requires the laws of physics to explain it, because it's technically finite but appears to go on forever. I think it's from CERN they've been firing these neutrinos.
Yeah.
I think CERN is also the European shelter for men who've had limited contact with women.
This study is called the OPERA Project. Yeah. Okay, so I looked it up. It stands for Oscillation Project with Emulsion Tracking Apparatus, which is OPETA. So if they can't get the acronym right...
The thing is that everyone is backing off this research. The people that discovered it are saying, we don't want to claim it because we're not sure about it. A physicist in the UK said, well, if it's true, then causality doesn't exist, and if causality doesn't exist, we're buggered. And even the divine Professor Brian Cox said, it's probably a calibration error.
Mm. I don't know.
It turns everything that we understand on its head. These neutrinos have travelling faster than light. They've got to arrive in Italy just before they've left Switzerland, OK? So you've got the Italian guy at the end going, "That's a demo here." And then in Switzerland, the guy goes, "OK, then I will send."
But is it true that if you can travel faster than light, you actually go back in time?
That's what I remember from Back to the Future.
Is that what they did?
That's what happened. But it gets complicated because then there's two of you. Yeah. Then there's a third film that nobody watches.
That's pretty much what I was seeing later on.
If the speed of my energy-saving light bulbs are anything to go by, I travel faster than light.
Dreadful, aren't they?
Aren't they dreadful? I'm always falling over something before the light has come on.
How can we be saving energy when I've got to put my lights on before I go to bed so that it's bright when I get up in the morning?
Scientists working for CERN have discovered neutrinos travelling faster than light, which, if true, makes a mockery of Einstein's theory of relativity. I hate when that happens. Scientists on the OPERA project observed tiny particles travelling slightly faster than light, like Eric Pickles at a buffet. 2 points to Jeremy. At the end of round two, the scores are Phil and Fred have got 8 points, but so too have Laura and Jeremy. And before we start round three, here's an advertisement from an in-flight magazine.
Jump out of a plane from up to 12,000 feet above the beautiful Algarve coastline, strapped to a tandem master with only 20 minutes instruction.
Thanks to Mike Gill for sending us that. Phil, have a listen to this. Phil, who has deigned to outperform the RAF?
It's four Danish pilots who went to Libya are just kicking the RAF's arse at shooting Gaddafi's strongholds. There's four of these guys who are presumably hopped up on herring and lager, climbing into their Danish cockpits, whereas there's 16 of our jets, 10 attack helicopters, four bombers, two battleships, and these four drunk, fish-crazy Danes have just completely kicked our arse, and they're in that very laissez-faire kind of, it's quite dangerous. Flying and shooting at the same time is wild. they are shooting at you as well. You have to be real careful.
Yeah, that's more Dutch than Danish, but... It's not, Phil, that they had just had four pilots. What they did was that they've only got four planes, okay? They employed lots more pilots. So the plane went out sort of eight times a day. It's like Ryanair. In fact, when Thatcher invaded the Gulf the very first time, she complained to the other European ministers that the rest of Europe hadn't done enough, and the Danish Prime Minister said, "We have sent half our navy, and when the other boat is repaired, that will be going..." This is a true story. 2005, the Danish Air Force paid compensation to a professional Santa Claus because low-flying jets caused one of his reindeer to have a heart attack.
Talk to me, Prancer! Talk to me!
Santa blowing in the reindeer's mouth.
Damn it, I'm not losing another one!
The Royal Danish Air Force have hit almost as many targets in Libya as the RAF and Royal Navy put together, despite the fact it's only deployed four fighter jets, and despite the fact that all Danish planes are made of pastry.
Do they have like bouncing meatballs hit things?
No, but they are very adaptable. So, for instance, one of our fighter jets, you can rearrange the bricks and suddenly it's a warship. Actually applied to join the Danish Air Force. I don't give a damn about the flying. I was irresistibly drawn to the overalls. 2 points to Phil. Fred, which striker took his job too literally?
I don't know if I can be bothered answering this.
The thing is, every time there are football questions on the news quiz, Toxvig, you get all uppity. You go, I don't understand what's going on, chaps in shorts.
I do know a little bit about this. This is a story that took place during a match between Manchester City and Bayern Munich, and unfortunately I didn't watch it because hell hadn't yet frozen over.
What's the Man City manager? Roberto Mancini?
Roberto Mancini, yeah. I loved his Pink Panther theme.
But, yeah, he said to Tevez, get yourself warmed up, son, you're on. And Tevez said, I don't know if I can be bothered. And Tevez gets, what, 150,000?
200 grand a week.
200 grand a week.
How much?
200,000 pounds a week.
10 million a year.
That's yeah. Nicholas Parsons' money.
Yeah, Carlos Tevez said that he did want to go on and he was quite happy to go on and play. Mancini said no, he wasn't. And I think all this shows is that Tevez's legal advisors were really on the ball and said, listen, you've got to make a statement double quick time here, boy, because 200 grand a week is just going to disappear in a cloud of smoke if you don't come out and say, I was ready, able and willing to play.
Yeah.
But, I mean, 10 million quid a year for doing what every little boy and girl do just for a laugh and the fun of it, kicking a ball around.
But he was on the bench, wasn't it? You know what it's like, you've sat down for the evening, you've got comfy. Manchester City footballer Carlos Tevez allegedly refused to go onto the pitch against Bayern Munich as a protest against being placed on the subs bench. And honestly, I have no idea what I've just said. 2 points to Fred. Laura, why might a punchline a day keep doctors in pay?
Oh, this is the research that says that gallows humour helps both doctors and patients. So knock, knock, who's there? Not you for much longer, you've got an incurable disease. That sort of thing.
I don't think you should encourage doctors to do that.
They're not allowed to do it in front of the patients, only if they're dead.
Oh, OK. Because what if you really did think you were a pair of curtains? That could be a real syndrome, couldn't it?
I appeared in an episode of Holby City. My agent phoned up and said, Phil, they want you to be in Holby City. And I said, what page do I have the heart attack on? As a bit of a joke. And he went, 53. And so I was playing a fat bloke that has a heart attack under surgery. And so they did this amazing thing where they cast a fake gut, big fake stomach that they operated on.
Take it off now, Phil.
So they're... And so I was being defibrillated and you're coached through it. And it's very nerve-wracking doing your own death when you're there. And... In the corner at Holby City, they have a consultant surgeon who's there to make sure that they don't make any technical mistakes while they're doing the fake surgery. I keep reenacting my own death, and it's getting to be a bit kind of wearing for me. And I start to indulge in a bit of gallows humour myself to try and lighten the mood a bit. And I go, look, everyone on the studio floor, look, don't worry. I'm just practising for my actual death. And the surgeon in the corner lowered his telegraph, looked at me and went, you're not wrong there, dear boy, are you?
But at least when you do have your heart attack, you'll know what to do, won't you? And afterwards you'll say, was that all right? I thought I was phoning it in.
Gallows humour about death and patients' problems made by doctors may be beneficial, an article has concluded. People who are close to dying need a good laugh, which is why hospitals put up those signs telling you how much the car park costs. 2 points to Laura. Jeremy, which county is saying the more the merrier?
Yorkshire. Those bluff, plain-speaking folk of Yorkshire have colonial ambitions that we didn't realise. They're invading the Lake District and Lancashire. They're extending the Yorkshire Dales, is that right?
Yes.
Which are national parks, which means you can't kill zebra in Yorkshire.
Do you not have a feeling that the Yorkshire-Lancashire boundary is sort of 20 miles of evenly spaced Eccles cakes? The new map adds 162 square miles of Lancashire to Yorkshire and presumably about 1.2 million hotspots.
It's just one of these, it's just they're discussing the possibility of moving the boundary and instead of it being the Pennines, making it the M6. And so it's just kind of a bit more of a geographically logical line. And the Daily Mail went, it's the War of the Roses all over again. And if you go to Mail Online and look at the comments underneath, it's just, it's nothing like War of the Roses, you lazy bastards. Just hundreds of comments like that. Again, the Daily Mail starts with the bloody obvious comments. It's the most gratifying thing I've read all week.
Yorkshire people, they speak their mind and it doesn't take them very long.
My partner comes from Lancashire, and indeed we filmed the very fine Antiques Master in Lancashire.
You looking like a painted whore. Is it Antiques Master or is it just lap dancing?
We went up there and I said, oh, it's going to be all that northern thing and everybody knows each other and so on. Anyway, we hired a cottage and they'd done that thing of saying, oh, you can't miss it. It's on the such and such a road. And of course, there's no number for this cottage and the road is 4 miles long. And it was the middle of the night and we're driving up and down. My partner says, let's just stop and ask somebody. I said, I don't want to ask anybody. I just want to find the place. Anyway, we did stop. She wound down the window and I heard her go, oh, hello. Middle of bloody nowhere, somebody she knew really well, we then had to have dinner with.
There's a brilliant art centre in Skipton in Yorkshire, which is in the, it's a theatre, it's in the meat market. It doubles as a theatre in the evening, they hose it down and you perform in there. And when I first went there, they're really solicitous and, you know, lovely Yorkshire people. And they came up to me and the woman came up and said, now, what would you like in your sandwiches? Are you a vegetarian? I thought, if I were a vegetarian, this would be quite a traumatic place for me to be playing. Really. You should offer me an alternative venue, really. Corn exchange or something.
Yorkshire is set to expand as government advisers recommend the Yorkshire Dales National Park should be extended to include a slice of neighbouring Lancashire. The move would bring the Yorkshire Dales to within 6 miles of the Irish Sea. But for any worried Irish listeners, don't panic. Whippets are terrible swimmers. 2 points to Jeremy. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Jupiter's.
Thanks to Paul Ockenden from Brighton for sending this advert for a branch of Aldi in, and it says, never-ending discounts. Hurry while stocks last.
Mr. McCauley.
You know these online retailers that have things that say, people who bought this also, blah, blah, blah. I've got one here. It says, other customers looking for poodle products suggested these items. A Journey by Tony Blair.
Ms. Solon.
This is from Keith Durham in Reading, who saw this TV preview from the Daily Telegraph. It's a show called Secret Dealers, : a horseshoe-shaped stool attracts the dealer's attention.
Mr. Hardy.
I don't know who this is sent in by. It's just a random bit of paper and it's got a small ad stuck to it. British Association of Tortoise Keepers, open day on Sunday, 10th of July, Stoke and Church Youth and Community Centre. Talks, shop and refreshments available. Free to members, £3 per group. No tortoises, please.
Let's take a look at the final score. Phil and Fred have got 12 points, but this week's winners by a quirk of fate are Laura and Jeremy with 13. Before we leave you, here is a church notice sent to us by Martha Beale.
Abseil, 100 feet from the Priory Tower, in aid of church funds. Kindly sponsored by Handley and Hawkart Funeral Service.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the News Quiz Extra were Phil Jupiters, Fred McCauley, Laura Solon and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Charlotte Green. The chair script was written by Simon Littlefield, Rodri Crooks and Carl Carter, with additional material by Andy Walton, Benjamin Partridge and Hannah George. The producers were Victoria Lloyd and John Pocock.